You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's happening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On NFL Network, giving you the best coverage, news, and insight into all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys once again. As always, I am your host, Cody Rourke, Denver Broncos insider for the Locked On Podcast Network, as well as an NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. I also do some work for the fan-sided networks, predominantlyorange.com. I work alongside a great group of content creators for some daily Broncos content, predominantlyorange.com. Give them a shout. My co-host for the show here is Cameron Parker. You guys can shoot him a follow on Twitter at Cameron Parker PO. It'll just be me today. But we have a big, big week in store for everybody here at Locked On Broncos. Tomorrow's episode will feature Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris. He's joining the podcast to talk about his expectations for 2019, a little bit of a reflection of the trials and tribulations of 2017 and 2018, and what that means for him coming into a new defensive system with Coach Fangio and retaining that right to work with Bill Collar on the defensive line. Very stoked to be having Shelby Harris here. A big, big hero for the Broncos in 2018 on the interception of Ben Roethlisberger. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but it was a big year for Shelby Harris in terms of being a football player and being a father. He became a father shortly before that Pittsburgh Steelers game. So it was a good week for him overall. So, you know, we're going to talk with him about that as well. And also the legendary Brandon Perna. He's going to be jumping into the podcast this week as well. He wants to address Mario Vitanzi's comments on their flag football game that they had this past weekend. And it has to do with a possible pro day for Brandon Perna, the legendary. Can't wait to have him here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. Going to be fun week over here on the show. So thank you guys for tuning in. As always, today's episode of the Lockdown Broncos podcast, segment number one, we're going to be diving into our Broncos thought of the day. John Elway and the Broncos proposed a rule at the league meeting in Arizona regarding onside kicks. We're getting into that in segment one a little bit. And can it be a beneficial factor for the NFL to look at the option that the Broncos have presented? Segment number two, we're going to go through our daily Broncos rundown, some Broncos news regarding a possible ownership dispute maybe coming to an end at some point. The NFL will still be involved in it. Joe Ellis and the Broncos organization still view it as an ownership dispute, but there is some new clarity regarding Brittany Bowen and her potential role with the Broncos front office here in the very near future. We analyze that segment number two. And then in segment number three, some various Broncos news from around the league, obviously, including stadium rights being named. You know, the Broncos have been looking for a long-term partner, and apparently they might have one right before the season starts. So a jam-packed episode of Locked On Broncos here for your Tuesday day at work, or if you're on your drive home, drive safe. And don't forget to use your smart device to play podcast Locked On Broncos. You can use the Google Podcast app, the Apple Podcast, or now the Himalaya podcasting app as well. So let's dive right into it. So in our Broncos thought of the day, John Elway and the Broncos organization were at hand at the owners' meetings to talk about potential rule changes. Everything gets voted on, and then it progresses to the next stage where NFL owners, they vote on it. One of the things that they were talking about, the Broncos proposed an idea regarding onside kicks. Now, the NFL has made a lot of rules over the years that have reduced the impact of the kicking game, whether it be kickoff. They moved it to where that, you know, you move up a little bit on kickoff. That way there's not that build-up speed for the team that kicks the ball off running, you know, from the guys that are going to be fielding the ball and returning it. High-speed collisions, they want to eliminate a lot of that. It's almost taken away the element of what contact football represents. So what they did even more so is you see instances, and if you've ever played football, you know that if you're on the onside kick unit, one thing you're doing, you have your guys designated to go to the ball, and then you have your designated guys that are, we call wall busters or wedge busters. They're the guy that go and blow up the front line guys that are trying to either recover the ball. So it opens up the opportunity for teams to recover if they go for an onside kick. However, the NFL saw a drastic reduction in successful onside kicks recovered by teams. Now take a look at this. In the year 2017 around the NFL, there were 60 onside kick attempts. 13 of those were recovered by the kicking team. So that's a relatively small percentage, 21.7% to be exact. However, when you look at the sample size of it too, in 2018, there were 53 onside kick attempts and only four of them were recovered by the kicking team, a 7.5% success rate. That is not good if you're trying to, you know, if you're coming back from being down, you're trying to get the ball back, you have to do an onside kick after you score, you kick a field goal in that situation. Let's say you're down 10, you kick a field goal, you want to at least try to make it a one-score game, so you go for the onside kick. If you get it, you have a chance to tie the game up. If you don't get it, well, then game over. This ruins almost a certain element of the game of football. In all honest opinion, because of these rule changes, it has impacted how these onside kicks work. I mean, back in the day, you used to see a lot of onside kicks become successful. It makes the game more exciting, more entertaining. So in order to preserve that and give teams that are coming back from being down at a deficit a chance to possibly win the game, the Broncos have proposed, rather than doing an onside kick, I mean, teams can have the option to. If, let's say it's late in the game, let's say the Broncos are down by 7 points. Okay, and let's say they just kicked a field goal, and now they got to get the ball back. Let's say there's a minute left. They're going for an onside kick. The chances of them getting it are slim to none. I mean, how many times did we see that with the Broncos last season? I mean, there were a couple games that went for an onside kick, didn't get, game was over. I believe the Rams game was one of them. That sucks. I mean, it gets your heart rate going as a fan. You're hoping your team gets it, makes the game a lot more interesting. It just didn't work out. The NFL saw a big drop in the success of onside kicks, and that was a lot due to rule changes in terms of player safety. So the Broncos' proposition was teams can select to either have a 4th and 15 or an onside kick. They can onside kick the ball if they want to and risk either getting it or not getting it. Or they could go with a 4th and 15. They can get the ball and it's 4th and 15. If the team converts and moves the sticks, if they get the 15 yards, they get to continue that drive, a chance to win the game. I like the idea of that. It makes the game interesting. It really does. It adds to the drama effect of it. Now, I know there's questions. A lot of people are thinking, well, if that's a rule that gets passed, then why about defensive holding? Don't hold. You're going to have to learn coverage. So many people in the media are talking about, well, I don't like the idea of defensive holding or pass interference because then it gives them a first down. Well, then don't interfere on a pass and don't hold. I mean, that's one of the biggest things, too. They're also looking at possibly reviewing pass interference as a penalty. I mean, you can now possibly potentially look at it if it gets passed. So initially, the votes for this, it was actually 7-1 in favor of this by NFL GMs and league owners in the first initial ruling. And here's the interesting thing about it. The one vote of the person that said, no, we don't want to do it, was John Mara of the New York Giants. And that's the guy that says his grandson has not talked to him since trading Odell Beckham Jr. So the Giants are opposed to it. It passed through with a 7-1 vote. This goes towards the owner votes now. All the league owners will have a chance to sit down and vote on this as being a new possible rule for 2019. I'm sure it'll be tested out in certain elements, but it certainly makes the game more interesting. So we took to Twitter. We asked Broncos Country in the NFL community, would this be something you guys would vote yes on? Timothy Pierce says, I really like the onside kick in years past, but with the rule changes, this is a better idea. The suspense watching 4th and 12 attempts in the AAF is great. And I think this is a great play. I mean, the Broncos, I think, got an idea of this by watching the AAF. So the NFL, look, Benjamin Albright said it best. The NFL and the AAF will be working on a deal. They'll probably come to an agreement in the next year or so to make it a feeder league, a developmental league. That would be huge for the NFL, for the game football. That's another subject for another day. But yes, I mean, it has been fun to watch in the AAF. I'm not going to lie. I think that's a great thing. And bring that to the NFL game, there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of people are opposed to it because, oh, we're taking a rule from a knockoff league that's not the NFL. We're taking a bunch of NFL rejects. That's such a dumb way to look at it, might I add on top of that. I think it'd be a great idea. So, Timothy, yes. Stephen Curtis says, I think it's a great idea. One, it stops those collisions with all those bodies slamming together. And two, while the chances it succeeds are low, still there is a legit chance to complete it. In my opinion, if I'm looking at a 4th and 15 or an onside kick, I feel better in the fact knowing maybe a 4th and 15 is more possible than getting that onside kick and recovering it. I'm a big believer in that. Quote me on it. Mic drop. Antonio R. says, I hate it. It doesn't make any sense. It changes the whole dynamic. You score a touchdown, you surrender the ball. With this ball, you score a touchdown, you keep the ball. Doesn't make sense. You know, here's the thing, and Antonio, I see your point of view on it. However, I look at the NFL and the discrepancy in successful onside kicks in 2018 and 2017. Something's got to change because teams are coming back late from being in the deficit, and yeah, maybe they shouldn't find themselves in that position, but it's 11-on-11 football. One guy makes a mistake, the whole team could pay for it. Teams come back. It makes the game entertaining. It makes it exciting. I tell you what, that makes it more exciting than watching an onside kick attempt where the likelihood is probably like 5% that you'll recover it. I don't like those odds. Carlos Scurry says, why not go back to the previous onside kick? And the reason the NFL won't do that, Carlos, because the NFL they want to make the game safer. They want to reduce collisions, as we talked about a little bit earlier. So that's a big reason. Player safety is the major reason why onside kicks have changed dramatically. Derek Johnson says, everyone watches the game for fourth quarter comebacks. They're the best. They're the most exciting part of the game. This rule allows for that to have a better chance. I'm all for it. I'm in agreement with you, Derek. Tylen Lampkin says, the onside kick kind of became useless last year, so I'd like to see the change. Absolutely, I do like that. I like that a lot. And Shawnee Holmes says, I like the idea. Apparently a 4th and 15 play has the same percentage chance of success as an onside kick under the previous rules. It'd give the teams the ball at the same place if successful, unsuccessful, and is much safer. Why not make the change? Make the game more exciting, not less. Why doesn't the NFL? How about this? The NFL should test this during the preseason. Propose this as a possible rule during the preseason. I think in preseason you're going to find more opportunities for teams to go for an onside kick than any other thing. So why not possibly apply this in the preseason, test it out, have it be one of those test rules for a whole entire year. If it works, embrace it even further. If not, discard it. Come up with something new. So the NFL, they got their minds to make up. The owners have to vote on it. So far, a 7-1 vote on the initial ruling is good news. So it has to. I don't know exactly how the league owner votes count. I don't know if it has to be unanimous or majority. I have to do a little bit more digging into that. But I like the idea of that. That is our Broncos thought of the day. So coming up here in segment number two, we're going to talk about Brittany Bowlen. The ownership dispute is very publicly known, as many people have understood over the last year. It's been very ugly in the paper. There's a chance that this could possibly find a solution in the near future, with Brittany Bowlen possibly getting one step closer to being applicable to taking over Pat Bowlen's job as owner of the Broncos. There is a lot to do. She's 29 years old. She's pretty young. 29 years old to be a potential future NFL owner is ridiculously young. If that's the case, sign me up. I'm 25. Let me make history. I'd love that. So yeah, we're going to talk about that coming up here in segment number two. But before we jump into that, I got to remind you guys that Jenna Garcia is taking over the Locked On Rockies podcast here for the Locked On MLB Network, launched on yesterday's episode of the show. So go back, check out Locked On Rockies with Jenna Garcia. If you guys don't know who Jenna is, here's a little introduction by her on what you can expect on the Locked On Rockies podcast.
Hey guys, this is Jenna Garcia, MLB Spanish language commentator and host of your Locked On Rockies podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Local experts on the biggest stories. Listen daily to the Locked On Rockies podcast for in-depth analysis on all things Rockies, as well as exclusive interviews with some of your favorite Mile High Sluggers. We will be following the rise of the Rockies as they battle for first place in what may be the toughest National League division out there, taking you behind the scenes as they face off against Manny Machado and the San Diego Padres, as well as ace pitchers like Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw, giving you a closer look at the biggest rivalries in the West. This season, we will be riding the Rocktober fever from the first pitch to that last out, with newly signed and committed Golden Glover Nolan Arenado and veteran La Barba Negra Charlie Blackman leading the fresh young squad onto the diamond daily. Prepare yourself for a newer, younger, fresher, faster Colorado Rockies on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So in the last year, if you guys have been following it, I know it's been a big topic of discussion around Broncos country, around the NFL in terms of league matters, but it's been talked about, it's been questioned, who could be the successor to Pat Bowlen taking over ownership for the Broncos organization? Beth Bowlen Wallace, one of his daughters, has come out. She wants to run the Broncos organization. She believes she's capable of doing it. It is a battle amongst the Bowlen siblings. However, an interesting thing that also just came out is Brittany Bowlen also expressed her interest in running the Broncos as well. So this has been a big dispute as part of a potential lawsuit that I'd say has to probably go through NFL arbitration. That's been something that's been hinted at by Roger Goodell, commissioner of the National Football League. It's definitely something that has been controversial. Now, at the heart of this suit, too, you have her uncle, Bill Bowlen, siding with Beth Bowlen Wallace to try to become the eventual successor of the Broncos. It's just been a messy, messy thing in the media. At the heart of this whole entire lawsuit, the lawsuit stems from Bill Bowlen and Beth Wallace Bowlen wanting to remove the trustees that Pat Bowlen had put into place in the event that his health had declined and he could no longer operate the football team. So this is going to be a huge thing to be following out through the next couple of years, and I think it's going to play out. It's going to take long. I think the NFL might make this a priority, from what I've been told, to solve this issue possibly in the next 1 to 2 years in terms of having a more solidified plan. Now, one of the things in Pat Bowen's succession plan is the ownership will not go over until one of his children is highly qualified to run the franchise. And there's a little bit of question here. So you have Beth Bolin Wallace that's come out that she wants to do it, but you also have his daughter Brittany Bolin that wants to do it as well. Now with Brittany, she's 29 years old. She's got a lot of educational background that can make her a possible favorite to eventually be the type of person to be the successor for the Pat Bolin name, to bring the Bolin family name, to keep it in Denver. She's got a bachelor's degree from Notre Dame and a master's degree from Duke University. She's grown up around football her entire life with Pat Bolin. She's been around John Elway and the Broncos for as long as she was a little kid. And this opportunity, Joe Ellis said she would be able to join the organization. She may be rejoining the front office within the next year. So it could be before the season, it could be during the football season, or it could be after this upcoming season. She plans on rejoining it in an administrative front office role. In my opinion, just looking at it on paper, this could provide a possible solution in the eyes of the NFL towards possibly resolving this, because it's become a family dispute. It's been very ugly on paper. It's been distracting. A lot of people talk about it in the media throughout the entire year. I mean, when this first came out, you know, you had coaches being asked about it, you had John Elway being asked about it, you had Joe Ellis being asked about it in press conferences, kind of distracting from the football standpoint. Usually things like this, you don't want to have leak into your operations of your day-to-day responsibility in the organization, from the coaches and the players. I mean, even players are being asked about it, and really, what can they say there, you know? The Pat Bolin name has been so phenomenal. Pat Bolin has been so monumental in what the NFL is today in terms of TV rights, us seeing it on Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Pat Bolin has been very, very pivotal in the building of the National Football League and creating and constructing one of the most successful organizations in pro football history. Under Pat Bolin, the Broncos are a dominant, dominant regime. And that's one thing I've always been excited about. You hear nothing but good things from players that have had the opportunity to play under Pat Bolin's ownership. Champ Bailey is very, very vocal about what Pat Bolin has meant to him for his career and getting a chance to play in Denver and retire and now going to the Hall of Fame. They're going to the Hall of Fame together. A moment I am so excited for. I know Broncos country is so excited for that, and hopefully we can all find a resolution for this ownership dispute here in the next couple of years. So with Brittany Bolin taking these steps now to become a little bit more capable and qualified, I mean, she's 29 years old. Think about it this way. She's 5 years older than me. If I had an opportunity to run an NFL franchise at the age of 29, I tell you what, that would be a little bit too much on my plate. I don't believe a 29-year-old is ready. However, if Brittany Bolin can work herself into a front office role in administrative day-to-day operations, working alongside Joe Ellis and John Elway, seeing how the business goes as an owner or as an administrator in an organization, I believe she can get the necessary experience to run this team. That gives her an advantage, in my opinion, over Beth Bolin Wallace. So this is going to be an interesting thing to find out. I thought it'd be interesting to shed a little light on, because this is a good step for the NFL, for the Broncos organization, especially with a Bolin child getting back into a position of authority, administration within the organization. It is a great thing and great experience for Brittany Bolin. So we've got to keep an eye on that situation. I hope the situation can have a succession plan here in place, and hopefully we can see something in the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, I don't think it's going to be a 2 to 3 year process where they name a new owner for the Broncos. I believe it's going to take a lot of time, but I believe with the succession plan that Pat Bolin has put together, if the Broncos and the NFL can follow that and Brittany Bolin can continue doing what she's doing, I think the Broncos will have their eventual owner. And I'm very excited. I think it's got to stay in the Bolin name. You got to keep it in the family. That's definitely a huge, huge thing. So coming up here in segment number 3, we're going to get into some other Broncos rundown, some NFL rundown around the National Football League, some big news around the league. We're going to shed a little bit of light on that and how it may impact the Broncos in some way, shape, or form coming up in just a moment. So in some Broncos-related news, Coach Fangio spoke at the Owners League meeting here in Arizona this past week and gave a little bit of an update as the Broncos get ready for OTAs and mini camp. He expects Bryce Callahan and Philip Lindsay to sit out during that. Philip Lindsay recovering from offseason hand surgery that kept him out of the rest of the regular season for the season finale against the Los Angeles Chargers, kept him out of the Pro Bowl action. He may be ready for training camp. He may be limited at the first part of it, but all things are going well according to reports regarding his recovery, his rehabilitation. So looking forward to having Phillip Lindsay back in the mix. Bryce Callahan recovered from foot surgery from an injury he suffered in December. This is just due diligence. This is just caution. It's not rushing him back into it right away. I know I've talked to several Broncos players. I've talked to Will Parks. He's very excited about getting to work. And like he said last week on Locked On Broncos, one of the things he looks forward to with the workout program, OTAs, and minicamp is that he gets to be around his teammates. He gets to develop a little bit more chemistry with them. And that's something that he looks forward to. I know we're looking forward to because it gives us a lot of things to talk about. But guess what? We're one step closer to Broncos football. I'm jacked. I'm excited. I can't wait. We'll be there for training camp, for Locked On Broncos coverage as well. Some player interviews. It's going to be a fun, fun time. Don't forget tomorrow's episode of the show. We're going to have Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris joining the show to talk about 2017, 2018, his journey through the NFL, and what he hopes to do in the year 2019, alongside Brandon Perna joining us as well this week of That Good Sport. Very excited about that. So in some NFL news, I felt like, you know, I spend a little bit of time talking about this here before we get off air. You know, Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement from the NFL. Now, if you guys know me, you know, I think alongside with the rest of Broncos country, I think Broncos country hates the Patriots, but I feel as if there is a common consensus amongst Broncos fans that they love Rob Gronkowski. I love Rob Gronkowski. I think he's a cool guy. I think he's a carefree dude. And, you know, the interesting thing about him, too, financially, he's smart. He has not spent a single dime of his NFL contracts that he has had. He's lived off of his endorsements that he has made. So he's going to have a long-time career. I mean, he gets to do whatever he wants. And, you know, surely, in my opinion, I want to open it up for discussion here, and we're going to share your guys' responses on tomorrow's Locked On Broncos. But one of the things I want to look at with Rob Gronkowski is you have to ask a question. Is he a Hall of Fame tight end? I think he is, in my opinion. If you look at him in comparison to guys like Tony Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez had more years, and so he had the opportunity to put up more stats in terms of total yards, touchdowns, etc. I feel like you cut that in half. You go to the 9 years that Rob Gronkowski has, you go to year nine that Tony Gonzalez has. Rob Gronkowski is on pace to be one of the best tight ends ever. And I think he is a very, very dynamic guy. And I know with positions, we're always talking about it. Who's the greatest of all time at quarterback? Who's the greatest of all time at wide receiver? Who's the greatest of all time at tight end, DB, whatever, whatever position? Who's the greatest bench warmer of all time? I mean, we could debate and discuss it all day long. It's exciting news. But with Rob Gronkowski, I think he has a legit case. And you know, we could take a look at his stats. I mean, yeah, he has big numbers. He has impressive numbers. But his ability to impact the game. You look at the New England Patriots over the years. Think about when they last had Randy Moss, Wes Welker. They had some pretty damn good receiving threats. They really, really did at that time. However, once those guys were no longer on the team, the Patriots didn't really have any big-time receiving threats except Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski, not only just with his size, you can line him up on the outside, one-on-one with the safety. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up as a wing, as an H-back. You can line him up hands down on the dirt on the offensive line to help out. He did everything as a tight end. He really did. He was the dynamic. He was the guy that could block really well. He was the guy that could run great routes. He was the guy that could catch almost anything you throw up to him. As a Broncos analyst, one of the things that was just so frustrating for me, and I imagine defensive coordinators feel the same exact way, how do you stop a guy like Rob Gronkowski with his size, his ability to box you out on a simple curl or a hitch route? His dynamic ability to catch the ball and forearm somebody, stiff arm them, and make athletic plays. I mean, go back and watch some of his highlight reel plays. One of the things was is people would try to tackle him, they'd wrap him up, and he'd still run. He'd still run, get yards, break through, and run to daylight. I'll never forget the AFC Championship game back in 2015. Tom Brady had the ball in the final minute of the game. And you guys all know what this is like. If you're on the receiving end where your team has the lead, Tom Brady has the ball with 1 minute to drive down the field, your palms are really, really sweaty. And I'll never forget, it was either a third down or it was a fourth down. They had Chris Harris lined up on Rob Gronkowski because I believe DJ Ward or Darian Stewart, one of those guys got hurt at safety. So he had to go back and play some safety in that game. And I just remember Chris Harris had great coverage. And what happened was is Tom Brady floats it up in the air. And of course, it rainbows perfectly right into the outstretched arms of Rob Gronkowski. He rumbles for a big 20-plus yard gain. And then he goes through the scenario where you're on the goal line, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware getting pressure to Tom Brady all night long, making his life a living hell. he finds Rob Gronkowski in the back of the end zone with 20 to 18 seconds, I believe, left in the game for a touchdown. I thought it was pass interference, in my opinion. I go back and look at that. It looked like he kind of shoved Chris Harris Jr. out of the way. Debatable. It wasn't called, but it resulted in a touchdown. So the score was 20-18, and that meant that the Patriots had one more chance to tie the game up on a two-point conversion and send the game into overtime in the AFC Championship game. Brady versus Manning, the epic and final matchup that we would ever see of those two guys, and the proportions of the game, the magnitude of it, that it was. Father Time, that was the game. Tom Brady, guy who still had it at his age, versus Peyton Manning, a guy who's on his last hoorah. We all didn't know it, but we all suspected it. 20-18. Two-point conversion attempt. Rob Gronkowski was left pretty much open in the end zone. Tom Brady looks to go for Julian Edelman. It is tipped in the air by Aqib Talib, intercepted by Bradley Roby. Broncos go on to play the Carolina Panthers and win the Super Bowl. Those two game stretches were amazing. And one thing, though, and I don't want to get away from my point on Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski is one of the most dominant tight ends to ever play the game in this era of football. Now, there's other guys like Kellen Winslow, Tony Gonzalez. Don't get me wrong. Guys like that are a phenomenal. Shannon Sharp. Tony Gonzalez was a guy that really passed the torch alongside to Rob Gronkowski. I honestly believe Rob Gronkowski has a legitimate case to be one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. And there's still talk that possibly his agent said he could possibly come out of retirement. If the Patriots need him, they're struggling. He may come out and play a couple games. I don't think that would be fair. I really don't, but watch. Now the Patriots have Matt LaCoste as their tight end. So watch Matt LaCoste become this huge, huge guy that just blossoms and blooms into a very, very good tight end with Tom Brady. Watch that happen. I'll be very, very upset. But Rob Gronkowski, as much as I dislike the Patriots, I want to thank you for all the matchups and wish you the best in your future career endeavors. Whatever you do, it'd be exciting to see you get into acting even more so. Loved him in the Entourage movie. Thinks he's got a possible future in acting, being a funny guy. Could you imagine a possible movie with, you know, Peyton Manning and Rob Gronkowski? Could you imagine that type of movie, a comedy? I would love that. Or even like maybe Rob Gronkowski and a guy like John Cena. I don't know. There's a lot of ideas, but you know, even Vegas is betting on what Rob Gronkowski is going to do next. Some of the options were whether it being a stripper, whether it's being a WWE wrestler. I mean, I can see that being a realistic possibility as well for him. He dabbled in it a little bit, but whatever Rob Gronkowski decides to do, I wish him the best. It's going to be different not seeing him affecting games because he was a nightmare. I hated it. I hated watching him against the Broncos because he was a guy that would exploit any kind of matchup, man or zone. He was dominant. Go back to the AFC Championship this past year against the Chiefs. Lined up one-on-one with Eric Berry. Who's going to win that matchup? Rob Gronkowski every time. Nothing against Eric Berry, but he ain't Rob Gronkowski. So that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or the new Himalaya Podcast app today on your smart device. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Broncos. Please, if you haven't done it already, please head over to iTunes right now. Click on write a review. Leave a 5-star review of the show. Tell us why you love it and leave your Twitter handle in the review. We're going to enter you into something very, very special. So thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Broncos defensive lineman Shelby Harris joins the Locked On Broncos podcast.